very good. So it's a mixture of keeping the best of what is here and adding in new building, which is sympathetic to the sort of general characteristic of the area. Instead, I don't know whether here they have a picture of the developer's plan. I don't think they do, but the developer's plan was horrific. Basically, it was just to take the whole of the area and knock it down, and then to build large offices along the front here, and large offices along this main road here, with a road up the middle of it. So it was rather a different sort of idea.
And this plan was discussed to the local government.
That's right, yeah. This plan was put in as an alternative. I mean, this is just a little leaflet. They put in a big planning proposal.
Is it seriously discussed?
Yes, oh yes. It was put into the planning committee through the political system in the local government as an alternative proposal. And there was then, if there is an opposition to a planning proposal, there has to be an inquiry under the planning law, so that they made a formal opposition to the developer's proposal and said that they had an alternative proposal, and therefore the government had to appoint an inspector, and there had to be a full inquiry of which they could present their proposal. And they could also criticise the opposition's proposal. The trouble with that sort of thing is that it relies very much not on the real facts of the case, but on how clever you are at the legalistic and highly skilled operation of running a public inquiry. And obviously the developers, with many millions of pounds behind them, hired the best lawyers in the city and got all the most high-powered people involved, whereas the squatters had very few resources, so that I'm sure it's exactly the same story in Holland, that a lot of the public inquiries are completely unequal battles because the resources are all on one side.
Public inquiries hardly exist in Holland, I think.
Ah, you don't have the same system of...
I don't know how it works. On the local level.
Ah. Well, here there is an obligation to have a public inquiry if there is a serious opposition to a particular proposal. And the minister in central government has the right to admit or not to admit evidence to that, and he will send an inspector from outside of the local government to actually set up a discussion about what should happen. And there's one very famous one going on at the moment in Coin Street on the river, which you may have heard about, which
Portland.
It's in Southwark, on south of the river, and it's a very large area which is right on the riverfront, which the developers have employed a very famous architect called Richard Rogers to make a beautiful plan with great offices and everything else for many, many millions of pounds. But the local people say, no, we want houses for the local people. And the original planning strategy for the area showed local houses. So the basis of the local people's demand is that the original planning strategy was that there should be houses here. We can show that it is quite possible to put good houses on this stock, and therefore the planning authority should not consider the proposals for this great development. And that has been a very major inquiry going on now for about 6 months of battle. And because of the change in political GLC, it was actually possible for the local residents, who are very well organised, to force the inspector to stop the inquiry until after the elections. So that's now another 6 months until they come back again and start again, so that it's the same game of trying to throw up lots of different strategies to impede and hold back the processes which allow the developers to do their development, and at the same time to offer positive alternatives to start to have their own plan. And in that case, there's a well-organised community group called the Waterloo Action Group, And there's a local law centre and information centre which has been very involved, and there's the actual Coin Street group, all of whom are quite well organised and have been able to make very good and strong proposals, which are quite different from the developers' proposals. And we will have to wait another 6 months or so before we know what will be the decision there.
It gives you very strong counter knowledge or counter expertise.
Well, it's not very strong, no. There are a few examples of it being successful. What is useful is that there is the mechanism in the planning system to have these inquiries, and in fact this present Conservative government have tried to stop that, but they haven't been able to. So the mechanism exists where a local group can demand to have an inquiry and have an objection if it's a serious objection. And that's a very good tool for people to use. But the reality of the sort of resources, the sort of money, the sort of expertise that you need to fight this sort of inquiry means that it's extremely difficult to do it, and there are very few examples of it being done successfully.
Mistakes or
because
of mistakes that are made, of a lack of knowledge.
It's partly lack of being able to pay for the expertise to produce an alternative proposal. Partly not being able to pay for the expertise to fight the little legal battles inside the inquiry, which are actually quite important, though they're completely irrelevant to the real world. They're very important to how the inquiry works, so you need quite skilled people to do that. Though one of the tactics that has been used in Coin Street, which I think is very good, is not to rely so much on the experts. Though they have some good experts working with them, but to rely much more on demonstration of strong local public force. So they actually occupied the inquiry room, and lots of women and children and old people and other people just went in there and sat all over the thing and stopped the inquiry and made it impossible for the inspector to have the inquiry. And I think that politically that's actually a much better way of trying to use the inquiry system than to fight their own game by trying to get your own experts and do all that. You need to do that as well, but if you do that just by itself, then you're really just becoming part of their system of fighting, and it's not so effective. But I think to look at Coin Street or to look at here gives you perhaps a rather false idea of the level of activity in London or in the country as a whole. They're both very, very special examples, and it would be wrong for you to get the impression that there are lots of active groups fighting inquiries all over London. It's not like that, I'm afraid. There's not much happening. Now the other thing we have here, if you haven't got copies already, are these books, which you may have seen, and Mark can sell you to them cheaper than the book price. So he told me that it's supposed to be £4.90, and I wrote down how much he said it. Well, I think it was £3.50 that he can sell them for. Yes, £3.50. So if people haven't got copies but would like copies, a visible and useful alternative strategy within the housing, the demand for housing in this country. And at one level it shows the success of the state in being able to divide out and separate out different campaigns and to stop them from coming together. But that's not really been a very conscious or clearly worked out strategy by the state, I don't think. I think it's just a failure of groups to be politically aware of what they're trying to do on a broader level. and that there is certainly, I mean, it would be wrong to think of squatting in London as some sort of strong, clear political action. It's very fragmented and very split up and very anarchic in its organisation.
But it's their strength also.
It can be a strength. I think it's a strength in some ways, but I think in terms of raising any serious questions about housing conditions and the provision of housing for, particularly for lower income and working class groups, it actually is a weakness, because squatting has been quite a visible and quite an important feature of housing in the past 10 years. But at the end of it, it's possible for the state to just wrap it all up and put it in a box, and it's, you know, that was just something that happened. It hasn't actually generated positive change, unless you believe that the development of short life and cooperatives and so on coming out of that is in itself a positive change. And we can have that discussion when we talk to the short life group.
Do you mean that squatting is also, let's say, anti-parliamentarist movement?
Well, it's. I mean, you can't sort of generalize. I don't think. Certainly, there is a strong element of not specifically anarchist, but of sort of anti-authoritarian and sort of disorganized anarchist mood within squatting, but not in any coherent political way. So it's not some sort of focus of sort of anti-parliamentarian or sort of anarchistic sort of position. At one level, it's just opportunism. You know, people find empty houses, let's go and live in them. At another level, it's a bit harder than that. You know, people are actually trying to make some sort of demonstration about the housing crisis through using the housing stock in a particular way. But it would be wrong, I think, to try and start to sort of say that it was some sort of movement that typified any particular political ideology. It is very fragmented.
Yeah.
I think more so than squatting in Berlin or in Amsterdam, more fragmented than that. But of course, I only can go to that as a visitor, in the same way that you can only come here as a visitor, so that your understanding of squatting in Amsterdam will be very different. And you may be equally critical, perhaps, of the lack of organisation or of political thought that is happening in squatting there. Still, perhaps we should move on. We have a long way to travel. Would you like